From the podcast program in which we study Parashat HaShavua over the course of six podcasts broadcast during the week in which we are reading that parasha. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and it's my honor to be studying the second half of Sacred Sefer Shmot with you. We are now at the very end of Parashat Tetzaveh in Perak Awamed. We're going to look at the first 10 psukim, which will take us to the end. And the focus in this section is going to be on the Mizbach HaKtoret, as promised. One thing that we will deal with at the very end is the location of this parasha, which one would think should be in the beginning of Parashat Truma, perhaps even before, certainly not later than the Shulchan and the Menorah are introduced, because these things all go in the Kodesh and fit the model. So why is it delayed until after we've got the entire structure of the Mishkan, the Big Day Kuhuna, the sanctification of the Kohanim, and the daily Korban brought on the Mizbeach? So we'll address that at the end. The Asita Mizbeach Miktar Ktoret. Atzei Shitim Ta'ase Oto. The first pasuk here, you shall make a Mizbeach Miktar Ktoret. I'm going to talk about the word Mizbeach here because it's a little bit unusual. Miktar Ktoret would mean that it's created for burning a Ktoret. Miktar Ktoret, the Ibn Ezra says it's a parallel to like Mishloach Manot, where you say the purpose of the thing is the verb and then the noun on which that verb is being acted. Matzei Shitim Ta'aseh Oto. You're going to make it out of acacia wood again, like the Mizbeach HaChitzon. It'll be plated, but not plated with bronze as the outer one is. Now, the word Mizbeach here is an unusual word, because what does Mizbeach mean? We know to translate it as an altar, but what's the root of the word Mizbeach? The root is Zevach. Zevach means slaughter. There's nothing being slaughtered, as we'll find out, nothing is allowed to be slaughtered on or for use with this Mizbeach. It's only going to be incense. So this is an example of a phenomenon that we're familiar with throughout Tanakh, of borrowed words, where a word comes into the language because it has a particular meaning. It then is applied to various other contexts, and it loses its connection with the original meaning. And perhaps it's for that reason that the text here emphasizes Mizbeach Miktar Ktoret. This is a Mizbeach, not for Zevach. One other example of this is the phrase, V'nesafta el amecha, you'll be gathered to your fathers. That's a phrase which is anchored in the original practice of ultimately throwing all the bones of all family members buried in the crypt into one area, and so you really were gathered to your ancestors. It became another way of saying death, and therefore someone even who was buried far away from their family plot was still called gathered to their people. And then it could be explained in various metaphysical or spiritual ways. Another interesting example of this phenomenon is the word yovel. The word yovel originally actually means a ram. The ram's horn was to be blown, and the ram's horn is called a yovel, as we hear in Parshat Yitro. We read it together. Bimshoch b'keren ha-yovel, the horn of the yovel. The yovel then becomes the name of a year, because that year is announced through the blowing of the ram's horn. So it becomes, to borrow a page from the Chinese, the year of the ram, the yovel. But then the yovel becomes the name of the year. And an interesting phenomenon happens to it then when it changes into other languages, is the word yovel then becomes the word jubilare in Latin, which ultimately becomes jubilee in English, and is used for any sort of celebration with a lot of noise. As a result of that, the word actually comes back into Ivrit, that in modern Hebrew, a yovel no longer means something that happens every 50 years, but any sort of a festive anniversary. So it's a little tour with words. What are the dimensions of this Mizbeach? Ama orko v'ama rochbo ravu yihye. V'amataim komat mimenu karnotav. Sounds very much like the Mizbeach Chitzon, except on a smaller scale. Remember, it's made out of wood so far. It's one amma in length, one amma in width, which means it's square. And that says, Ravua Yihya, it shall be square. Now, as the Netziv pointed out, when you speak about the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and it said that it's five amot by five amot, and then it says Ravua. So the word Ravua is really extra there because five and on five is square. He says that's to tell you that the emphasis is that it be square. So even if it's a much larger Mizbeach, like the Mizbeach HaChitzon in the Beit HaMikdash, then as long as it's square, that fits the bill. But here you can't say that because Mizbeach HaZahav was always one amah by one amah. So therefore he says the emphasis on Ravua is that it really has to be exactly Ravua, which means you have to fit the corner pieces in together so that you don't end up extending either side and that it's perfectly square. Amatayim komato, it's only two amot high. It's a very small Mizbeach. Mimenu karnota, which means you make the capstones out of the wood itself. Okay. Mitzipita oto Zahav Tahor. You're to take pure gold, 24 karat gold, and plate it. Now remember, we're plating the Mizbeach Chitzon with Nechoshet. So here it's with gold. At Gago, Gago means the roof, which would mean the top of the Mizbeach. At Kirotav, the walls, Saviv, Vet Karnotav, also the capstones. Asita Lo, Zer Zahav Saviv. And then you're going to make a golden crown that goes around the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach, when you look at it, now looks all gold, which is why it's also called the Mizbeach HaZahav. The Zer Zahav is something that we also saw in the context of the Shulchan. Now, Ushtei Tama'ot Zahav Ta'aselo Mitachat L'Zero Alshtei Tzalotav Ta'ase Alshtei Tzidav. So you're going to make two rings of gold that are going to be underneath that crown that's going around on both sides. It's going to be for housing for the staves, so that you can carry the staves with these in these rings. So this now takes on yet another parallel to the Shulchan and to the Aron, in that it is wood plated with gold, has staves which go through rings that are on the side. And the staves themselves are made of atzei shitim, acacia wood, and they're also plated with gold. You're going to put it in front of the parochet, asher al aron ha'idut. In the first podcast this week, we talked about what that phrase means. And now there's a double emphasis. And in a sense, it turns this entire parasha, parashat tetzaveh, is something of an inclusio at the very beginning and the very end. There's a mention of the parochet, asher al aron haidut, and here there's an expansion on it, which is lifnei kaporet. So this parochet is in front of the kaporet, which means we now have a perfect lineup, which is mizbeach hazahav, in front of it is the parochet, and in back of the parochet is the kaporet, which is pure gold, which is on top of the edut, and that's where I'm going to meet with you. So there's this kind of a direct line of communication and a presence here. What are you going to do with these Mizbeach? Now we've talked about the material. We've talked now about the location, which in Parshat Truma, those came separately. But here with the Mizbeach HaZahav, it's all at one. V'iktir alav Aharon ketoret samim. Aharon shall burn a ketoret samim, a spicy incense. We'll get the materials for that in Parshat Ki Tisa. Baboker, baboker, behitivot hanirot, yak tirena. Baboker, baboker means every morning. So morning after morning, behetivo tanirot, when he is metiva tanirot, a phrase we didn't yet hear, we'll hear it several other times later, but not yet, but this is the first time, when he cleans out, literally to beautify the nerot, what it means is to clean out the nerot. So every morning Aharon would come in, or the Kohen would come in, and would clean out all of the ash from the wick that had burned. And when he does that, then yaktirena. So he enters the mikdash once early in the morning to clean out the nerot, and to burn the ketoret. Uvalot Aharon et hanerot ben harbayim yak tirena. Ketoret tamid lifnei Adonai ledorotechem. And uvahalot Aharon et hanerot, when Aharon raises up, which is the biblical phrase for lighting the nerot, when Aharon lights the nerot in the afternoon, then he also burns the ketoret, and it's therefore a ketoret tamid. Ketoret tamid because it's in the morning and it's in the evening. And that's going to explain the location of this parasha. It's in front of Hashem, and it's forever. Now, one restriction, two restrictions really, about the Mizbeach. Lo ta'alu alav ktoret zara ve'ola u'mincha. You may not put on top of it a ktoret zara, which means a foreign ktoret, means a ktoret unlike the one that God commands, ve'ola, not a korban ola, or any other animal for that matter, u'mincha, or any grain offering. V'nesech lo tischo alav, and you're not allowed to libate wine on it, which means nothing may go on it except for ktoret and the proper ktoret, only. V'chiper aharon al karnotav achat bashana. Dam chatat ha-kipurim achat bashana yechaper alav l'dorotechem kodesh kodeshim hu l'adonai. So Aharon is going to be mechaper on the kranot. Now there's two ways to read that, and really both operate. One is to effectively create a kapara for the kranot, as if the kranot needs some sort of expiation. And the other one is that he's going to do kapara on the kranot, meaning kapara for other things, but on the kranot, and it's going to be once a year. What's this once a year? Midam chatata kippurim. This is going to be from the blood of the Chatat HaKippurim. We haven't heard about the Chatat HaKippurim. We will not hear about the Chatat HaKippurim until Parshat Vayehi of Acharei Mot. But now we're getting a little bit of a glimpse that there's going to be a yearly kapara process. There will be a Korban Chatat associated with it. The dam of that Korban Chatat is going to go onto the kranot of this little Mizbeach, and it's going to be Achat Pashana, Yechaper Alav the Dorotechem. Now, Kodesh Kodeshim Hu L'Adonai. This Mizbeach is Kodesh Kodeshim L'Hashem. Okay, so now why is this parasha delayed until here and not put in the parasha in Truma when we learned about the Aron and the Kaporet and the Shulchan and the Menorah? And this should have been included because it's also in the Kodesh. If we take a look at it, there is a information that we get here that we did not get in parallel, and pointed out earlier, but I get the parallel information in Parshat Truma. In Parshat Truma, we were presented with the Shulchan, and told that the Shulchan is going to have Lechem Panim Alav Tamid. We were told about the menorah, but we were not told anything about the menorah's, the lighting on the menorah. The lighting on the menorah only shows up at the beginning of Parshat Tetzaveh. Subsequently, after told about the Kiddush HaKohanim, and once the Kohanim are set up, the next thing that we're told is, how are the Kohanim really invested? They become invested. The investiture of the Kohanim happens through the Korban Tamid, which is going to take place every morning and every evening during the Shivat Yomei HaMiluim, during the 7 days in which Moshe is going to be operating, and then being, and they will be invested through that. The Mizbeach HaKtoret seems to follow in line with that, because if we think about it, there's a Gedem Mizbeach, and here a borrowed word, Nozevach, aligned with the Kaporet, the Parochet, Mizbeach HaZahav, and outside Mizbeach HaChitzon, the Aron and the Kaporet consistently have the Luchot in it. Now we've got the Kaporet, which the Mizbeach HaZahav, which has the Ktoret on it, Tamid, and then outside you have the Korban, which is on it, Tamid. And so therefore it seems that this parasha is presented not merely as a kli of the Beit HaMikdash, but also, and perhaps most significantly, as part of the process of Kiddush HaKohanim, of sanctifying the Kohanim, which they do by bringing the Ktoret at the same time that they clean out the Nerot in the morning and then set up the Nerot and light them in the afternoon, that the Ktoret is lit with that. And following Ramban's lead, we've been following since the beginning of Parshat Truma, this is to effectively recreate the experience of Har Sinai with the fire and the cloud and smoke and everything else, the fire of the menorah and the cloud and the smoke of the incense. And as a result of that, this then becomes sort of the completion of that process. And as we'll see, the next few parashiyot, which take us to the end of the commands regarding the Mishkan, deal with relatively, not tangential issues or ancillary issues, really, that affect the Mishkan. In the meantime, though, we have really completed an entire picture going from the beginning of Truma to the end of Tetzaveh. And Emir Tzashem, next week we will take a look at Parshat Ki Tisa. In the meantime, everybody should have a Shabbat Shalom.